Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. This week, Clint from Lake Effect joins us to talk about everything that they got going on, their Inland Seas projects, just all the awesome beer that they're making. They got planned for Chicago Craft Beer Week, and it's really awesome to be back in the studio recording this podcast. So let's get into this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And we're back after a long break. And we brought with us a special guest.
It's been a while, man. Yeah, it's been like, what, like 2 weeks?
It's been 2 weeks.
We've been gone. We usually roll hard every week, man.
Yeah.
So we got a special guest. Pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
Clint, man, owner-operator over at Lake Effect Brewery, man, at Jefferson Park. Mm-hmm. What's going on, man?
Not too much, guys. Just nice to be here. Thanks for bringing me in.
Yeah, man. You're finally on the show, man. We've been talking about it for a while. Now, your last name is Bouts. Is that how you say your last
name? Yeah.
All right, cool. I don't want to screw it up. I'm always screwing up last names on this show.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's good coming back big with a new episode here with a guest and doing something special. You brought with yourself three beers here. Mm-hmm. So we're doing it like not just one this time. We're going three.
Yeah. We're all in, man. We're committed, man. Yeah. And I really like the beautiful, what is it, 765? This large format bottle?
These are 750s. They're essentially champagne bottles. They're designed to hold several volumes of CO2 so the beer can grow and develop over time without causing major problems.
Cool.
Okay. So first off, you opened up, which one did we open here?
This one is called Session Brett, and it's a series. We do a number of Brett beers, and this one I pulled from a place that I think it was in the back somewhere.
Okay.
It might have aged quite a bit, but this is done with the Brett Dray strain, and it kind of has I think it's about a year old, and it just kind of shows that as these Brett beers develop in the bottle, that they change and they evolve over time. So this one's actually gotten a little bit more tartness, still has this really kind of ripe fruit. Mm-hmm. That's going on, slight nutty flavor.
Yeah.
So it's real interesting for probably first time I've tried it, probably about 6 months. So when I saw it, I grabbed it.
So. Okay. Yeah. Nice. So this is it one you're hoping to do again too, or is this the one you did at this time and kind of moved on from then?
Yeah. You know, the Brett series, it's sort of got a life of its own. But we started with one beer called Session Brett, which is this one. Mm-hmm. And this became the base for a lot of different fruit additions that we did in the future. So we have a beer called Frambois. We have one Cerise. We have one Pamplemousse, which are just French names for fruit, essentially. Okay. So Pamplemousse is probably my favorite French word, but that's just grapefruit.
Okay, sure.
And so that's where it kind of branched off to. And then some of these base beers we aged for longer than a year on wood in different, you know, wine barrels. So I've got an Oud Bruin here with us that's aged 18 months and an Opus 1 wine barrels.
Okay.
And that one's actually available now on the stores. So we've got kind of a shorter-term Brett beers, which the fruit beers are generally 3 to 6 months old, whereas we have some that are, you know, a year, year and a half. And then we're working on some that are over 2 years that are really spending a lot of time in the barrels developing and having, you know, growing and the microbes just
doing their thing,
exactly.
No, I really like going to Lake Effect. It's one of the two stops that doesn't change on the Brewbus tour that we do every Saturday. Every Saturday, always.
Right.
Always, second stop's always Lake Effect. I describe it to people, like when we're at Haymarket, I describe it like, hey, you know, this is what the setup looks like when, you know, you've got brewing equipment at home and your wife's probably pissed off. She's like, get this shit out of here and go make some money, right? It's that first level above, like, you know, like it's no longer a hobby. Like we're here, but we're really small, but we're here not to play games. We're here to actually put out some good product. Did it start for you wanting to do like these sour beers all along? Was that always part of the plan?
You know, it's interesting. I've always loved sour beers. I've always wanted to do them. But we were going to wait a long time before we really got into them. I think what happened was we had purchased some equipment, some jacketed fermenters, and we had gotten those from a company in China. And when they shipped over, they were about 6 months late. And so we were fully licensed, and we were ready to go, and we didn't have any fermentation space. So we came across some unjacketed tanks from Greenbush Brewing in Michigan. And these guys are on wheels. You roll them around the brewery. Essentially, you roll them. We have a big cooler, has a big door, and we roll them in and out of the cooler to maintain the fermentation control. This is how they started. It's pretty amazing. We talked with them on several occasions on the best strategy to ferment, you know, normal beers, American ale, yeast, those kind of things. And it just, during the summer, it really tested us, and it was really hard for us to do this. So we started developing beers that fermented at higher temperatures, and so mainly Saisons, Belgian styles. And then we got into the sours pretty quickly too, because those can work at much higher temperatures. Okay. And it was almost out of necessity to try some different beers that fermented at high temperatures. We kind of gave up on the IPA the first year. We gave up on the stouts. We don't really brew stouts in the summertime anyway. But any kind of English style ale that need to ferment below 70 degrees, we pretty much let go of.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anything where you're having to roll the tanks in and out of the cooler.
That's the only time I've ever seen it. It had to be
a pain, like just like
one
space, like, okay, well, move all that stuff that's where it's done. It needs to come out to like bottle or can it. And
I mean, it's convenient during the wintertime because you can ferment at ambient temperatures pretty much anything. And then part of the process is you want to crash cool the beers and lager them before you package and carbonate them. So simply by rolling them into the cooler, that works great. But during the summer, and we tried it, you know, I've only slept at the brewery twice, and both times we're watching the temperatures, and you know, this is, you know, now over 4 years ago, but we just made the adjustments and went with more of the Saisons, and were able to develop our niche, and that was sort of the fast lane to essentially get to these beers. I love these beers too, but it gave us you know, an avenue to get there. We also are lucky, in a sense, actually very lucky, because we had a yeast lab move right next door to us.
Ooh, okay.
You know, that also helped us with a lot of the strains, dispelling some of the myths about Brett and contamination and those sort of issues. And that was really helpful, too. So I think 1 year after we were in our space next door to us, Omega Yeast Labs moved in.
Okay.
And they've been doing a lot of work with hybrid Saison strains and Brett strains, and were able to kind of help us find the right strains to work, especially in the summertime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of super lucky, I guess, that happened too.
Where they how cool is that, right? Like, you really got this brewery, and then, like, a couple years later, a yeast lab moves in next door.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. We have a lot smaller breweries generally don't have the resources to have a lab, and so we had a lab essentially move next door to us, and where we'd have to get a new pitch of yeast. We'd get it sent to us from the West Coast. Now it's just a guy who walks over with a container and hands it to us, and we're good to go.
That's awesome. Wow. Yeah.
Now you're on the Northwest side, right?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you end up there versus other parts of the city, right?
Cheap rent.
Okay. That's actually why I'm on the Northwest side.
I mean,
it's pretty affordable.
I mean, the space is, everybody thinks that we're really far away and everything. We're actually really easy to get to. We're 200 yards from the Montrose Blue Line stop.
Okay.
And if you're riding the Metra, I think it's the Northwest.
Yeah, Milwaukee North.
Milwaukee North.
Yeah.
Right at the Mayfair stop, you can literally stumble off that platform and land in our space. So cheap rent, really close to transit. Those are really the two factors that kind of got it for us.
Yeah.
And a small space, too. I mean, we were, as you say, I was just looking to move up to the next level of homebrewing. I had taken over the house and agreed to move out of the house, and I needed to find a place. And this is a cheap place, 1,500 square feet, mm-hmm. was able to do it.
And then it's that close to the train, but it's just the production brewery. There's no, like, brew pub or any of, like, tasting room or anything like that.
Not yet. We utilize some of the area bars for our tasting rooms.
Okay.
And when we do have tours that come in on Saturday, and then we take everybody to a bar about two blocks away, and okay. they offer a flight. So they can come in, see the brewery, see what we're doing, and then they get a flight. Now, we do have our retail shop in motion, going through permits and licensing for that. So okay. we're hoping by summer you can come in and pick up some bottles or a growler.
Okay.
And very similar to how when Half Acre started, they had their little shop in the front. Off Color has a very similar setup.
Yeah.
So just very simple. You know, we just want to be able to sell our bottles from the location.
Cool.
I need to get over to Off Color. Have you seen it since they did the bottle?
No, show? I haven't been, yeah.
No. Oh, yeah, I've only been like once. What beer are you making the most over there that's taking up most of your time on your system?
Right now, I mean, mostly it's our flagship IPA, Falcon Dive, yeah. which we've moved into six packs.
Okay.
And we also make a wit beer called Snow. That's a big production. Currently, right now, the big push is just to get. We have a lot of barrels now, wine and bourbon barrels, and so we've been really working to fill those up. And that's just really what we've been focused on, probably for the past 3 to 4 weeks. But yeah, usually it's the IPA. We run that continuously, and then and the wit beer too.
Yeah.
Those have been the ones that we've been doing the whole time.
People have been really receptive to the barrel aged stuff. I mean, the judges at FOBAB were very excited about one of your beers, like last year, I think, right? Or two
yep.
years back.
Yeah, we got a silver medal.
Oh, awesome.
In the fruit beer category.
Yeah.
For one of these that had come out of this series here.
Right on.
And yeah, now it's now we have a bunch of bourbon barrels, and so we're going. I think we make a really good imperial stout, and we're excited. We finally brought it to market last year around November, and we made maybe 50 cases of it.
Okay.
But I mean, that is how. Just to put it in perspective, we're a very small brewery, and we're still 1,500 square feet. But this year, at the end of the year, my plan is to put out five times as much. So
no
it's
kidding.
Very, very ambitious.
I can never tell when you're playing. You have like this really even dry sense of humor.
I'm serious. It's driving us all crazy right now because we have this little four barrel system
yeah.
and we're just, every time we brew, we do have seven barrel tanks, but you got to remember every time you brew an Imperial, like a really big, like 12 or 13% beer, you probably should, or you should always get a small beer on the back side of that. So the second running's beer. And so that's the thing, is we're getting later in the season. Yeah. We had a very mild winter. People are already, you know, thinking about the lighter beers. Yeah. And so, you know, we're going to have a lot of small beer out there. So during the summer, you're going to see us, you know, we're going to be, you know, throwing the stouts out all summer. You'll go to the festivals, and one of the beers will be a stout because of this five times Imperial means five times espresso stout or mole stout. Yeah. Those are our two small beers that we brew behind the big beer. So
now what's it like over there at Lake Effect? Because I get the impression that, you know, you're such a small operation that you're really out there doing all pieces of it. Like, so you're brewing, and then you're actually bottling, and then you go out and you sell this beer and you distribute it. You're doing it all yourself?
Yeah, I mean, we self-distribute. Back in the day, I used to do most of it, almost all of it. There was a time where I was brewing all the beer. There was a time where I was delivering all the beer. There was a time, actually, where I was doing both. Luckily, as we've evolved, I've been able to bring on, you know, some really talented people to the team. So I have a really good brewer now who's brewing most of the beers. Okay. And, you know, I step in, I usually brew once a week because I get tired of kind of working in the office. and I brew a lot of the collaborations as well, just because the connections I've made with, they're kind of special beers that I like to get involved with. But generally, my brewer does pretty much mostly everything there. I did hire a delivery driver, which was really, that was great, because that got me out of the van. And it's real hard to do sales while you're driving around the highway, rolling kegs down little chutes.
You're
and down
embracing
steps.
Delegation of tasks now. Year 4.
It's very nice. So yeah, one day I will be obsolete, and that is my goal. No, but
sit back and drink the beer.
No, I do a lot. I do a lot of the sales. Actually, I do most of the sales. I am getting some help now with sales, and you know, we're kind of working there. We do have a team of volunteers that come in and help us out on a bottling day and festivals and things of that sort. So
some of the collabs. I know the Unholy Moly with the Mammoth Crew we were talking about.
Yeah,
and then he did 27 Blocks, which I think was that with Fountainhead, with Cletus?
Yeah, with Cletus. Actually, he texted me today, and I think we're gonna get some of that beer, 27 Blocks over at his new restaurant.
Yeah, he's like at downtown somewhere, like Bocce or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, and then there's I'm trying to think. You did the Shark Week beer. I'm trying to think of the collabs you've done.
Yeah, Shark Week's been that was a couple years ago. We also got involved. I'm friends with the grandson-in-law at Superdog, Ben.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. And we do beers with Superdog. We've done three different varieties. We're doing a fourth one. Uh-huh. We did the Super Beer, which was a beer that we did made especially to pair with the Chicago Dog, a.k.a. the Superdog. Mm-hmm. Very scientific approach. we had a panel of experts that came in, made about six different versions of it. We had focus groups and scorecards, and we picked a recipe that was somewhere on. There was kind of the far left was using all the ingredients of the Superdog, and then the far right was something complimentary, like a lager, you know, like a German lager. So we kind of hit in between slightly smoked Kolsch style. And then we loved that project so much that we went and did one with their Polish-Hungarian sausage, the Wupski, Wupski dog, and made Wupski beer. And that is the same yeast, but it's an amber, and it's a very malty kind of counterpart to that light Kolsch. And then we just did a Super Shake, which is the one that's based off of their chocolate malt. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we're doing a barrel aged super shake this year to top that. So, and then after that, I don't know what we can do better than barrel aged super shake.
Yeah,
I mean,
right. I don't know. Yeah. That sounds pretty good.
So, but yeah, we do that. We've got, we do the beer from Medina Golf Club. We do the beer for the Morton Arboretum. It has trees in it, literally branches of trees.
Made with real trees.
Yeah, we got we got a summer one coming out that is made with juniper, and so another tree for them. And then we have this thing with a tiki bar.
Oh yeah,
a pineapple hibiscus. Ale of sorts that is in development that I've been thinking a lot about.
Are you able to say who the bar is?
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. Yeah. But it's going to be
not too many tiki bars.
So. There's not really. It's going to be good. So, but yeah, we do a lot of projects like that. Chicago Craft Beer Week. We're doing something with Sedgwick Stop. We're going to do we do a beer with them every year for the event. Chicago women brewers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they come over and
I like the lady over at Cedric's Top. Whiskey Sister is her handle.
Oh, right. On Twitter.
On Twitter. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a good friend of ours. Yeah, that's just some of the projects and all those are done on our. We have these small tanks that we do.
Yeah.
They're essentially booked up for the year. And that's just our special project tanks.
That's a lot of moves, man. You're really working this four-barrel system, man. You just named like 12 beers, man. And that's just the seasonal stuff. That's not even talking about like your year-round stuff. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. Luckily those are short days, those small tanks. The production beers are generally 10-hour days to do 7 barrels. And then the Imperials are the hardest ones because we just have to brew it for... We boil for like 3 hours and do long mashes and, you know, everything we can and just extract all the sugars possible out of those grains.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So what's next in this, the Great Lakes series?
Yeah, you've got this, the latest series is a dedication to the Great Lakes.
Yeah, well, you know, we're called Lake Effect and we love the Great Lakes and, I've had a long relationship with them, and in fact, I guess I'm 75% Lake Michigan by body weight. I guess when you think about it, you are the lakes. So anyway, we've looked at the whole basin, and we do have in common with everybody around the basin this water, and so we've decided to take a tour of the Great Lakes Basin from the top part of it all the way down to the sea. So you actually flow from one lake to another lake. It is kind of a stepping stone and they all flow one right into the other. So it's all one big system. And so we begin with Lake Nipigon, which is the sixth Great Lake. It's in Canada, so nobody knows about it. It's secret.
We don't talk about Canada.
It's above the map where it's all, you know, usually white or black that you don't see. But it's a small lake, and it flows into Lake Superior, and Lake Superior flows into Huron and Michigan, which are all really one lake. And then down past Detroit, along the Detroit River, into Lake Erie, and then over Niagara Falls into Ontario, and then out via the St. Lawrence River.
Okay.
And so we've looked at each lake, the mood, the characteristic. We've designed a recipe around each of the lakes. And then on top of that, we've sourced a lot of the ingredients for each beer around that particular lake. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a really interesting project. It's been kind of a geography lesson.
Natural
history. When I read about it, I'm like, dude, Lake Nipigon.
Yeah.
Where the hell is that?
Right.
Yeah. So that's, I've been to all the lakes, but I've not been to Nipigon. I would like to go there. But that one, we made that a wild white because it's in a kind of pristine environment. It's the only like real wild of the series. Mm-hmm. And it's a white just because it's cold and snowy up there and kind of piney. And, you know, so it's, you know, that's the one kind of wild aspect that we're really exploring. The next one, Lake Superior, is a barley wine.
So this is beer one in the series.
This is beer one. Yeah, right. We're trying to do it in order. The thing is, we're a small brewery. We've never taken on something this ambitious. So we might have to skip over a few lakes and go back to those lakes. Because the next one is a barley wine. And it's a big, contemplative, deep, you know, it's a beer that takes a long time to make and mature. And we're halfway through it. It's tasting amazing. We've actually put a few in different barrels that we're going to blend back in and kind of throw people. So that's the next one. And then we play off the fruit of Michigan and Huron, where Michigan is a cherry blonde ale that we've brewed before under the beer called Cerise de Michigan. And then Huron is a blueberry Berliner Weiss.
Nice.
Then we move on to Lake Erie, which was probably the hardest one to figure out because it has so many negative, you know, catching on fire and all that. So we went with maple syrup, which surprisingly is made, you know, I'm learning a lot on this, but there's a lot made actually in Ohio and obviously in Ontario. You always think Vermont,
right.
You know, and other places, but we're going to do an Imperial Brown with maple syrup for Erie. Then we're doing a beer for Niagara Falls, which is a barrel-aged oatmeal stout.
Okay.
The barrel going over the falls. Actually, I probably should credit Christian
Bird
with that. That was his idea.
Cheers to Bird, man. I haven't seen that guy in a while.
And then Ontario is a wine barrel-aged beer, which I just got back from wine country up in upstate New York picked up a bunch of barrels from a winery there. We're using Ontario hops for that. And then our St. Lawrence beer is a Goza style where you have the sweet water transitioning into salty water.
Man, yeah, this is a big project.
This is serious.
Yeah.
Should we give this a whirl?
Yeah, give it a crack. Crack it up.
No, that's pretty awesome. You've like thought that deeply about all these different, and not just been like, yeah, we'll do the blueberry one, and yeah, we'll kind of make this one the barrel aged beer, whatever. Yeah,
well,
it after that. Yeah.
Yeah, we've thought thought through them pretty good, and you know, for a long time, and we've wanted to do something that was very much central to our mission and our branding of the brewery and who we are and. So we felt this was a good project to
that's try and really nice nose on it, man.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Well, we usually talk about what we did this last week, Nick, but
yeah,
we didn't do anything. How was your trip?
Man, I got out of town. It was great. I was in Puerto Rico, 80 degrees every day. Not a lot of breweries. I was a little bummed out about that. There's three breweries. The big brewery is the old San Juan Brew House. And they are closed. I guess it's tough. It costs money, man. It costs money to have, you know, a brewery steps from the fucking ocean. So they closed. And it sucks because, like, four of the top five rated beers in Puerto Rico were from this brew house.
Well, there's only three breweries.
There's only three, right? So,
that's not saying much.
They had a wall. I think it was called Old Harbor.
Okay.
So that bummed out on that. I did try Hopslam down there. Okay. There was, like, an abundance of fucking Hopslam in cans, which pissed me off. You know, I'm in Chicago. I can't get any Hop Slam. I'm drinking Hop Slam like the entire trip when I'm down there.
Yeah, wow. It was like super dangerous to do when it's that hot.
Yeah, it was great, man. There was a spot.
Is it 10-11% Hop
Slam? Yeah, it's like a 10% beer. They there's the big brewery that closed, and then there are two macro breweries on the mainland. So I went to one of the bars, and this guy's like, "Oh yeah, he's a nano. He's not even a macro. Like he'll come bring beer to us, but then it's gone in like a week."
You know? Okay.
Rincon, I think was the name of that brewery. I went to check out. So I didn't get to try any of the breweries, but I hung out at a couple beer bars.
Nice.
Yeah. You get a Hop Slam and a shot of, like, you know, 12-year-old rum for, like, $9. Right on the beach, man.
Pretty awesome trip there.
That's all I did, man. I got out, man.
Okay.
Came back like an asshole with, like, $250 worth of rum. You know, it was fun, though.
You're stacking up that bar of yours.
Yeah, man. So, you know,
there you go.
Rum game is strong right now, Brad. Strong rum game.
Yeah.
Now, you were in some beer-friendly cities. You were all over the place. You went to like three or four, even more cities than, since we last saw
each other. So I was in Santa Monica for a couple days. No beer stuff there. Pretty busy with work and other events. But then was in Portland. So, of course, tons of beer there. But isn't Chicago land on the verge of having more breweries than Portland?
Yeah, yeah. If you listen to some stories, man, we're like we're right behind Portland all of a sudden.
Wow,
which is kind of weird, man. Yeah, you you make it out to the Pacific Northwest at all?
I do. My parents used to live out in Seattle.
Yeah,
and I've been there a number of times. And we're actually going to be sending beer out there.
No kidding.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've got a retailer out there that's bought. A large supply of our beer to go out there. I still have a lot of friends and family out there.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're buying a lot of our espresso beer. So we'll see how that
makes sense. It does kind of make sense.
It's an interesting concept, man. You see a lot of breweries that are like, in the grand scheme of things, aren't really big breweries, but they take this approach where they're sending beer like all over the country.
Somewhere far, yeah.
You know, yeah. I see it with, as we talked about Off Color, I see them do that. I ran into the Pipeworks guys, and I guess they're a little bit bigger now, but they were saying that, hey, you know, they got a guy and they're going to send beer to like Denver and New York. Mm-hmm. The Local Option guys, they said their biggest accounts are LA and New York.
Really?
You know, yeah. Huh. So it's like, it's interesting to see like some of these directions that these brewers are taking to like not have all their beer in one place. You know, it's interesting. I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, went to a bunch of breweries there, then drove up to, through Seattle, we took a ferry to like, it's called the San Juan
Island. Oh, yeah. Anacortes, did you go there? And
I forget which island. We were just on one for like a couple nights, that was it. But we went to Island Hopping.
Did you go to a lavender farm when you were up there?
No, we didn't do that.
There's like wineries and there's like cool stuff to see up there, but yeah.
Yeah, no, we were just kind of relaxing for a couple of days, but yeah. Awesome to find a brewery there and then was kind of like blown away by their beer.
Yeah.
Island Hopping or Island Hoppy Brewery or I forget the exact name.
Is it near Seattle?
No, it's on the island up there.
Okay.
So it's like 2 hours from Seattle and then on a ferry and then drive up there. But you find these breweries sometimes you're like, oh, they're on an island. Like, let's try them. You're like, holy shit, this is really good.
Why is it so good? Yeah. Why hasn't no one told me about this?
Yeah. Why is there no one else here? Oh, it's on an island. You got to take a ferry to. So that was pretty awesome. But that was a fun trip. Like, it's good to be back. But, yeah, always nice to explore these other cities.
It's fun to get away. Mm-hmm. I love Chicago. I do like leaving Chicago.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of events coming up then, right?
We do have events coming up.
We're almost on the cusp of Chicago Craft Beer Week.
Yeah, man, festival season is... Oh, shit, what is that, yo? We got... All right, let's get back to it, man.
All right.
What was that?
So we're coming up in April here now. March is gone. So kicking it off here in the beginning of April, what do you have on the calendar? Anything?
April 1st, this Friday, is Beat the Brewers event. So it's a KBS release party at Whirly Ball. We've been to Whirly Ball. We had Whirly Ball on the show.
Mm-hmm.
They do this event where they invite the brewery out, and then anyone can challenge the brewery to a game of Whirly Ball. Right?
Okay.
So they're doing a couple things. They're launching KBS 2016 there, and then you can enter a raffle where you can get a brewery trip, a $250 brewery trip. So apparently they'll pay for your hotel, give you a gas card, and send you to the brewery.
Okay.
And they're raffling that off. They're actually going to do a three-year vertical of KBS.
Nice.
So 14, 15, 16. That's all at 7 o'clock at Whirly Ball.
I'll be over at Whirly Ball next Wednesday, so yeah. They probably won't have any KBS left.
They have a sneaky good tap list at Whirly Ball. I was kind of surprised. Yeah. I thought it'd be kind of corporate. I thought it'd be kind of, you know, kind of gimmicky, but they have a hardcore tap list.
Yeah.
It's very nice. Yeah. That's Friday, April 1st. I don't have anything for this weekend, though. Do you?
I didn't really... I haven't. I'm just back in the swing of things.
He's like, I just woke up, man. I got nothing, man.
But we're starting. I'm going to be up in, going up to Haymarket to check out the new Haymarket in Michigan.
Really? You're going up there?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So this is the old, it's like an old, like...
Police station, yeah, state trooper.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So okay. We're going to go check that out with the Pete, and we're all going to hang out there and do some brewery hopping, and yeah.
There you go.
Fun, so... So even if there was any events this weekend, I couldn't even go to them.
Yeah. We talked about the open bottle down in Tinley Park. It's their anniversary weekend. So kudos to those guys. Tuesday, April 5th, over at Eataly, they're doing an Italian beer tasting.
Okay.
So they actually only sell three beers there. So they partner. They do it's Dogfish Head and...
It's that Italian...
And that Italian brewery. It's called a... I always screw it up. Baladin.
Yeah.
It's always those two at every location, and then they do three local partners. So here it's Rev, Floyd's, and Half Acre, and then that's like all the beer they sell are those five brands. Oh, but anyway, they're doing an Italian beer tasting. A lot of people don't know that Ely is also a brewery. They're cranking out. They got like a 10-barrel system over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some nice copper tanks. It's actually a cool spot, second floor. They're doing a tasting of three Italian beers with food for $20. Yeah, it's about an hour long. So.
Nice.
And this will be three of the Baladin beers. Yeah. That's on Tuesday, April 5th. That's a $25 ticket.
Okay. I know we were talking about the Slapshot beer release. Is that this weekend?
Yeah, the Pale Popper.
Oh, yeah.
Pale Popper, which is the second year of Pale Popper. So it started with a Slapshot and Microphone out at Slapshot, because at the time, Microphone was brewing at Slapshot.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, in Little Italy, I think, like 31st and like near Cicero, something like that. That's where they were, right?
I think so.
Yeah, right, something like actually, that. Yeah.
Okay.
But this year, it's a little bit bigger. They're moving to Fishman's, so it's going to be indoor-outdoor. And then instead of just the two breweries, you're just talking about 20 breweries.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's their answer to Dark Lord Day. Yeah, so that's at the end of the month.
Okay.
At Fishman's, that would be good. That's a $20 ticket.
Okay, so we'll probably mention that again here.
Yeah, for sure. And then part of the reason we wanted to have Clint on the show is because, well, we see Clint all the time. You know, we like his beers.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got this new series, the Inland Sea Series, which focuses on ingredients around the Great Lakes. But then every year, man, you make it a point to showcase the beauty of the Northwest Side, man, through all its watering holes, right? So
very true, yeah.
Talk about the third annual Northwest Side Ride that's coming up for Chicago Craft Beer Week, man.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe it's the third annual. But I actually stole the idea from... Chris, who owns the Kinderhook Tap in Oak Park, was doing the Tale of Two Parks and basically trying to showcase the local bars and restaurants down in that area in Oak Park. And he rented a bunch of buses and just carted people around from place to place. And rather than just a sequential tour where you start one place and, you know, everybody starts together and they go, we create a route. We create a transit route. It's like the new CTA drunk route. No,
there you go.
craft beer route. And so we have nine bars. And then what I do is... I reach out to some of the other breweries, usually smaller breweries, a lot of self-distros, and basically introduce them to one of the bars. And so they hook up at a bar, and they become the featured brewery, the featured beer of the night. And so when you stop at that bar, you have that brewery there. And... So this year, I think we have, usually we get about 200 people on this crawl. It's a lot of fun, and you get to just see all the different places. This year, I think we're going up and down Milwaukee Avenue, basically from right around Addison all the way up to Devon.
Okay.
And we're just going to go back and forth. The garage is our furthest north stop, and then we go all the way down to a small bar called the Graylin Tap.
Garage is nice. I partied at the garage a few times.
Yeah, garage is a pretty popular place. It'll be late May, so they'll probably have their rooftop open, which is one of the best rooftops in the city. And then all points in between, Fishman's is on it, Hops and Barley's is on it. Gale Street Inn is on it. You know, and a lot of different variety of experiences. So you get everything from the dive bar to like the fine dining restaurant. Sure. And so we have Community Tavern and Gale Street on there. And yeah, it's just a lot of good, a good time. It's ourselves. We have Workforce Brewing, Hellstorm Brewing is signed up. You know, those two breweries don't really get on the north side very often, so it'll be fun to have them. We do Lagunitas is joining us. So we do, they're like the one big brewery that, we've got.
Right, yeah. Craft Beer Week, right?
Yeah. and they were actually, the first year it was nice, we had, actually Tony McGee came out and was the rep at at one of the places. So it was really cool. And yeah, it's ourselves. Pipeworks is coming out, and Temperance. I can't remember all of them, yeah, it'll be quite the showing, and
it's kind of the fun, just almost drunken mess that happens, right? Like the people going from bar to bar.
You would think so.
Depending on the person, or do people dip in and out quite a bit?
You would think so. I mean, a lot of the people are fairly restrained. I would say the last rotation on the route is usually the
loudest. We'll say
the people that are and they're probably still going to keep going. So the basically the last hour is just trying to get everybody to where they need to be and get them to the train or get them to the bar that's closest to their house or whatnot. But it's a lot of fun, and you know, it's just a great way to show off the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's a good way to see that side of town. There's some bars like Sidekicks, which apparently is a 4 a.m. bar that I just started going to that I didn't even know about.
Yep.
And I don't live that far
you
from there.
You need to stop partying, man. You're going to the 4 a.m. bar.
You know, so that, it's a good showcase, man, this Northwest Side ride. So that looks like a $22 ticket, and that'll be during Chicago Craft Beer Week.
Yeah, and that gets you the bus for the whole time and around. Does not include the beer. And each bar will kind of do different kinds of deals and stuff with the featured beer.
Okay.
So you might get a flight of beer, you might get a full beer. You know, it just depends. So it's good times.
Ooh, we got to get Justin on here to talk about Chicago Craft Beer Week. It feels like it came up fast.
It'll be here in no time.
I know. The website's up. Like, we submitted this event on there, and it's already becoming populated with quite a lot. So it'll be here before you know it. Everybody's calendar will fill up, and then we'll be back in action again, and hopefully we'll make it through the whole thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to that. The closing event at that the park is really nice. Yeah.
Wells Park,
yeah.
Yep.
It's going to be a good time. So those are some of the events coming up this week and later this month, or it's coming next month, yeah, but... do we have any beer news? Or we still have one more beer to open too.
Yeah, we got one more beer to open, man. Yeah.
Yep.
As we close out here, what's this? What's our last beer?
This one's what we call an Old Brown Ale. This is the it's our Oud Bruin style that we've aged in wine barrels, red wine barrels, for the last for a year and a half.
Okay.
And just really nice, great. Flavors from the barrel, from the wine. Got some nice tannins in it. Has a really smooth sourness to it.
What are some of the breweries or brewers that are your inspiration, man? It looks like you're using wine barrels, you're using bourbon barrels. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the champagne bottles, you got the six pack. Like, what are some of the breweries that inspired you?
Yeah, I've always really loved New Glarus.
Yeah,
and you know, they have their. Their flagship beers, you know, and then they have their fun specialty sours and fruit beers. And so I look to them a lot, especially with these sour ales that we do. Definitely Russian River with a lot of the wine barrel aging. They were kind of the ones that really, really, really brought it on.
Yeah.
And it's those two. The diversity of beers that New Glarus has, you know, some people think that, you know, it's good to kind of specialize in one style and, you know, but they do so many different styles, and they really have fun experimenting. That's kind of the spirit of our brewery.
Right on. Yeah. That's cool, man.
Man, your phone is just blowing up today.
Yeah, I got to act like I got some sense and like I'm doing a show and turn this shit off when I come to the studio, yeah, man.
Come on.
What am I doing, man? It's like it's my third show or something. Right on, man. Got a little bit of news.
Okay.
Not too much. The Three Aces down near Roosevelt, they've got a collab beer on that they did with the Charlatan and with Buckle Down.
Okay. Hey, we were just drinking before pre-show. We were drinking some Charlatan.
Yeah, the Charlatan Pale Ale from Maplewood, which is the first time I've had them. Have you had anything from Maplewood?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Good stuff. I'm looking for their spirits too.
I think I picked this up at Costco.
Oh really? So they're going to be a distillery as well?
Yeah. Man. Yeah.
See, I didn't even know about them.
Taking it all away. Yeah, they're located right over by El Syndicate, and I got to know them. There was a Brewers Guild meeting over at El Syndicate, and then a bunch of them came over to Maplewood. But I noticed they have their sign up that you can see from the Kennedy Expressway, and they are working on getting their tap room open. I don't know if they're distilling yet, but they do have a beautiful still. In their space. I mean, brewing equipment's beautiful. Distillery equipment's just...
Yeah, it looks like...
It's like, wow. It like,
works out. It's like this weird steampunky kind of look.
It's so
like,
shiny.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like a really expensive science project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is, yeah.
I walked right past CH Distillery.
That place looks great.
I was like a kid in the can. Like, I parked the van. I didn't even know where it was, and I looked over, and this... All the shiny stuff, and I had to be, I was late for something, and I had to be somewhere, and I was just drawn into that space, and just like, oh, I'm running late, and I'm on my phone, and hung out in there for a while, and tried some of their gin, but the equipment, anyway, so they've got a beautiful setup, too.
That's starting to become a thing, you know, like breweries are branching off into cider, or branching off into full-blown distilleries.
Yeah.
Like, I saw, like, Anchor as a distillery.
Okay.
Yeah. Floyd's, they're going to have a distillery.
Yeah, Floyd's got one. And Beguile's got their cidery.
Beguile's got the cidery, yeah. It's starting to become a thing. Oh, so it's a Rybak. So it's
the Three Aces.
The Three Aces Buckle Down Charlatan collab is on the Three Aces. It's 7% Rybak. And they offer it in a George Dickel shot. So
okay.
Like Boilermaker.
All right.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then Hopcat. Hopcat's coming to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Apparently, I didn't know this. They're on pace. They're doing this everywhere. They're gonna do like 25 of these Hopcat locations.
Mm. Yeah,
yeah. So they got some deep pockets over there. I know they're anti Miller, anti Bud,
mm-hmm.
but where are they getting this money from, man? Everybody's tied to somebody.
Yeah, they got a
Lake Effect. Yeah, you know, just really deep pockets over there.
Yeah,
25. Is it theirs or it's like?
135 taps too at this location, Lincoln Park, that they're
or did they franchise the name? Like you could open up.
That's a good question. Is it the same crew doing them all, or is it like Wingstop, right? Where anybody we can go, we can all three of us can go open a Wingstop.
Yeah,
you know, is it like that? I'm not really sure. It's a good question. Hmm. Yeah, 135 taps, no goose,
no
goose,
and then
no any affiliates.
That's
so,
their tagline: 135 taps, no goose.
Yeah, how do you feel about them excluding like certain breweries?
I don't know. It's part of the message of I just don't like hearing about the exclusion. But I know it's a selling point, and maybe I've just been watching too many political shows and been around people that try to be divisive and things like that. So I hate it when someone's okay. We're going to exclude this person, you know. It's fair game, I think, if their beers do well, people should drink them, but they have their reasons and, it's, I don't know. I'm not going to pick sides on it.
Yeah.
If that's what they want to do, then that's what they do.
Yeah. I've been to the one in Grand Rapids. I know they're making beer as well. And apparently they're doing these concepts all across the country.
Is it going to be a brewery too? Are they going to make beer in there?
It's a good question. I think this is just going to be a bar.
Okay. Yeah.
But I know the one in Grand Rapids is a brew house as well.
Now that location is really cool.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of that's the circuit. You go over to Founders and you have a few beers there, and then you go over there and hang out and nice. Maybe go to take a cab over to
the Mitten's. Pretty good. That's far from there.
Yeah, what's the one in the chapel?
Brew Vivant.
Yeah, I really like that spot too.
Yeah, Grand Rapids is a good beer city. Mm-hmm. So that's a good weekend if you got 2 days of burn. Hang out in Grand Rapids, you'd be good.
Yeah,
the Hopcat kind of anchors it too. So I mean, we'll see. I mean, when things franchise, though, they change. So
that's true.
See.
Well, this was a good, I think, episode to come back on.
Yeah, for sure.
Clint, thanks for joining us.
Thank you guys.
Where can people find you? Find about a Lake Effect. All that good. It's Twitter.
Yeah, we're on all the usual social media outlets. You can find our beers and Benny's and Whole Foods and a lot of local places.
Okay.
Hopefully at our brewery this summer we'll have our own bottle shop and we can do our special releases there. And we do offer tours on Saturdays. Check our website.
Right. Or you could get on the beer bus.
Get on the beer bus.
Yeah, get on the brew bus every Saturday at 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Yeah, and I join the beer bus usually at the end because the beer bus is so fun. It also happens to be my ride home because the next stop is right by my house. Nice. So. But everybody thinks that I'm like just the party animal. Like,
yeah, it's getting on this bus, man. So Clint's locking up, and he's the last one to get on. And he gets on the bus. We go to the final stop, and this bus goes nuts. Like every single week, it's hilarious.
Let the brewers get on.
He loves us.
Oh my god. Yeah, it's pretty. Funny.
And then they want me to come to like the next stop. I'm like, I'm not going.
Then they're passing you.
It's just a ride home.
My DVR's got stuff on it. I gotta get home. So Nick, where can people find you? Ask the questions about trip and living the island life.
I'm on Twitter, man, at Nicosio.
Hey, you can follow me on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Our website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher. Subscribe, leave us a review. We love seeing those. Gets more people interested in the show and more people drinking Chicago beer, which is kind of the purpose, I think, of the show.
Yeah, for sure. Go find this Inland Sea Series from Lake Effect, man. Entry one is the Wild White Ale. It's pretty fucking tasty.
Yeah, I think I really dug that white ale. That was really good.
Yep.
But cheers. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back next week, minus any vacations. No, we'll be back next week.
Yeah, man. Later.